Good morning, everyone. Congratulations, you made it to worship on a cold-er spring-forward Sunday. So it's great to see you all be speaking to God on your behalf with prayers of thanksgiving, even now. We continue the season of Lent with a little hint of spring. Remember, on Sundays, they are in Lent, not of Lent, so our liturgy is a little bit different and more abbreviated in parts, but we still have that resurrection tinge running throughout, enhanced this morning by the presence of our adult choir. Thank you for getting up without an hour of sleep and being here for us today. The service order is before you on the ivory. Again, just one service note. Remember, please, that when you see a musical note or a number sign, that indicates the hymnal in front of you, beginning with the opening hymn, number 819. Please stand.
Sing praise to God, the highest good, the author of creation, the God of love who understood our need for his salvation. With healing balm our souls he fills, and every faithless murmur stills. To God all praise and glory. What God's almighty power has made, in mercy he is keeping. By morning glow, his eye is never sleeping. Within the kingdom of his might, all things are just and good and right. To God all praise and glory. We sought the Lord in our distress. O God, in mercy hear us. Our Savior saw our helplessness and came with peace to cheer us. For this we thank and praise the Lord, who is my one and all adored. To God all praise and glory. He never shall forsake his flock, his chosen generation. He is their refuge and their rock, their peace and their salvation. As with a mother's tender hand, he leads his own and chosen band. To God all praise and glory. All who confess Christ's holy name, give God the praise and glory. Let all who know his power proclaim aloud the wondrous story. Cast every idol from its throne, for God is God and he alone. To God all praise.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. O God, our Father, we confess that we are by nature sinful and that we have turned away from your commands. Have mercy on us and forgive us, O Lord. Forgive us for all that we have thought and said and done that is contrary to your will and your ways. And forgive us for times we have trusted in our own righteousness instead of relying on your grace in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer. Have mercy on us and forgive us, O God. Forgive us for times we have not been good stewards of your great creation, and for times we have been unwilling to help our neighbors as we ought. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Upon this your confession and by command of our Lord, I, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the God of peace sanctify you wholly. May your spirit, soul, and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Amen. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgment he uttered. O offspring of Abraham, his servant, children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. He remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. To God on high be glory and peace to all the earth. Goodwill from God in heaven proclaimed at Jesus' birth. We praise and bless you, Father, your holy name we sing. Our thanks for your great glory, our heavenly King. To you, O soul begotten, the Father, Son, we pray. O Lamb of God, our Savior, you take our sins away. Have mercy on us, Jesus. Receive our heartfelt Father's glory. Amen. Father in heaven, whose ways are justice and truth, strengthen our faith in Christ, our righteousness. Keep the eyes of our faith focused on our Redeemer, and in the end, take us.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. The epistle is from Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus,
the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be?
Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. God loved the world so that he gave his only Son, the lost to save, that all who would in him believe should everlasting life receive. Christ Jesus is the ground of faith, who was made flesh and suffered death. All then who trust in him alone are built on this chief cornerstone. God would not have the sinner die. His Son with saving grace is nigh. His Spirit in the Word declares how we in Christ are heaven's heirs. Be of good cheer, for God's own Son forgives all sins which you have done, and justified by Jesus' blood, your baptism grants the highest good. If you are sick, if death is near, this truth your troubled heart can cheer. Christ Jesus saves your soul from death. That is the firmest ground of faith. Glory to God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one. To you, O blessed Trinity, be praise now and eternally. Please be seated. And at this time, I would invite the children forward for some good news. It's great to see you all this morning. Are you more tired than usual because you got an hour less of sleep, or did you even know that? You did? Pardon? Ooh. You'll recover. You can take a nap today. okay, I want to hear from you how big you think God's love is. How big is God's love? Eternity. Ooh, I should know you guys would give me the answer. Eternity. How else? Eternity, that's a big, pretty fancy word. How big is God's love? Well, let's say if we tried to measure it, do you think I could measure it in here? No? You must know Psalm 23, which says, my cup runneth over. That means God just keeps filling up our cup. It's never going to get empty, so that's not going to work. Last night when I was talking about the kids, this with the kids, one said, well, you could use a really long tape measure. I said, how'd you know? Because I have not a tape measure, but a ruler. Even before I brought it out, they guessed. You guys are good. Anyway, so how could we use a ruler to see how God's love is? No. Because the Bible says, His love, God's love, reaches up to the heavens. Nobody has a ruler that big, right? Or a tape measure. So we can't use a ruler. How about a watch? A watch measures time. You said eternity, right? Tyler, you said eternity. And that's, did you know you were quoting a Bible verse? Because it says, God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. That means eternity. We can't measure it. Reminds me of one of my favorite songs. It goes like this. You know the first verse, but I made up a second verse. God's love is so great, so strong and so mighty, He sent His Son Jesus. This is a sign for Jesus. You know why? Because He had nails in His hands for you. God's love is so great, so strong and so mighty. You can do it with me if you want. He sent His Son Jesus for me. God's love is so great, so strong and so mighty. He sent His Son Jesus for me. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He's coming in glory again. God's love is so great, so strong and so mighty. He sent His Son Jesus for me and you. Want to sing it again, or are you too tired? Huh? Last night they wanted to sing it faster, okay? God's love is so great, so strong and so mighty. He sent His Son Jesus for me. God's love is so great, so strong and so mighty. He sent His Son Jesus for me. I guess you don't want to sing it again. Okay. I'm not going to force you. Have a great day, remembering God's love never ends. For God so loved the world, He sent His only Son. That's how we measure it. He sent Jesus. Up. I know last night I invited some of the older kids forward. I said, you have to come. I think I can stump you tonight. And sure enough, I didn't. Oh, too smart for the pastor. Let us pray. Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. Amen. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, even pleasing through Jesus, the lover of souls. Amen. I don't know how many of you remember, in the mid-90s, a series came out called Left Behind, and it continued through 2017. I think there were 15 or 16 books, and the general theme, which the authors said they took from the Bible, mostly from the prophecy, the revelation, that Jesus came down to earth and He raptured people. That means that He took them up into heaven, although the word rapture is not in the Bible. And that the ones who were left on earth were not having a very good time. So it scared a lot of people. Because sometimes we don't have a lot of good times on earth, do we? It's hard. And things don't go the way that we think they should, and even the way that God thinks they should. So I'm kind of using that theme today to say that the lessons appointed for this second Sunday in, not of, Lent point to the things that we need to leave behind, even though they're still on earth, if we're going to enjoy life to any degree at all. Number one, undue love of country and family. Patriotism, yes. Nationalism, no. God loves all people and people of all nations. And that's borne out in the Old Testament reading for today, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. What would you think or say if God came to you in a dream and told you that he wanted you to leave Steelville or Sparta or Campbell Hill or wherever you live? And not just that area, but the state of Illinois and the country of the United States of America. And also leave your family, most of them behind, and go to a foreign country and be used by him to spread God's love. I don't know if there'd be very many takers, right? We might say God was cuckoo and missed out on an hour of sleep and wasn't thinking correctly, right? Why would he want you to do that? And more than that, he did it to Abraham. And what we kind of forget, because we know the end of the story and that Abraham turned out kind of sort of good, but he was not Lutheran, by the way, Abraham. In fact, he was not even a Christian. He was from a family of unbelievers. Why would God choose someone like that? We sometimes think that God has to choose people to serve him who are strong in their faith. Well, in this case, he chose someone who wasn't even a believer in him. So God can do everything, anything, right? In a few days, we're going to be observing a holiday that talks about another man that God used that wasn't a Christian. He was born in Britain to a wealthy family of unbelievers, and at age 14, he was kidnapped by a band of marauders and taken to Ireland. And he worked as a slave, as a shepherd for several years, and that's where he said he came to faith. Oftentimes, when God removes us from the familiar and comfortable, we really take stock in what's important in life, don't we? And this young man did. Lo and behold, one day he escaped and he went back to Britain and he enrolled in the seminary. And history records that he returned to Ireland and became the Bishop of Ireland. We know him as Saint Patrick. We're not just observing three-leaf clovers, although he used that to explain the Trinity or whatever else we leprechauns celebrate on March 17th, but another case of God using someone who was so far away from him to bring him glory and praise. How far are you away from him today? We are all, by the gift of holy baptism and other means, children of God, but most of us aren't as centered as we need to be most days, aren't we? How many of us can would say, like Abraham and like Saint Patrick, that we dedicate our whole lives wholly to him? It's a difficult thing. Number two, God enjoins us to leave behind over-reliance on good works, what I'm calling do or do religion, as opposed to Paul's teaching on justification by faith, by grace, and through faith alone. And Paul was no saint either, remember? You don't need me to rehearse his life as much, perhaps, maligning Christians, going after them, trying to punish them, and in some cases attesting to their deaths, and God used him. I'm sure there is no one in this room, not one person, who believes that they're going to heaven because they're good, right? We don't have a problem with that teaching. That's one of the gifts of the Christian faith and the Lutheran emphasis on grace. It's only by grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. But if you're like me, you think this way. You think that if you do something good, God's going to love you more, right? And conversely, if you're not so good, God doesn't love you as much. It reminds me of one of my favorite sayings. There's nothing you can do to make God love you anymore. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. It's all his doing. It reminds me of a story I read just this week about a city called Feldkirch, Austria. Anybody ever heard of it? Feldkirch, Austria? Well, way back when Napoleon's army was on the outskirts of the city threatening to destroy, and unfortunately, the Austrian army wasn't resident, so the people of Feldkirch had no protection. Wouldn't you know, it was Easter Sunday, and so they were all gathered in church for worship, and the pastor said, well, I guess there's nothing we can do except for ring the bells. Hey, ring the bells and worship. And when Napoleon's army heard the bells ring, they took that as a signal that the Austrian army was resident. And the Austrian army was pretty strong, and so Napoleon's army retreated. That story lives again to this day in you and me, doesn't it? There's nothing we can do. We are at the mercy of the devil's army to a degree. Sin, the world, and our sinful flesh assails us each day. And so we're thankful for the bells that signal God's great, miraculous intervening on our behalf. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we sang last week, as we do the first Sunday in Lent, not just on Reformation Sunday. We tremble not, we fear no ill, they cannot overpower us. This world's prince may scowl as he will, he can harm us none. He's judged, the deed is done. One little word can fell him. Do you know what that word is? Boo! I learned that just last week. I want to look that up, and I said, I wonder what that word is. The hymn never says. And I looked it up, and somebody asked Luther once what was the word that can fell the devil, and Luther said, boo. It reminds me of another story. One night he woke up, he thought he was having a nightmare. It was spring forward day. No, I didn't know that. And he saw the devil at the end of the foot of his bed, and he said, oh, just you. Went back to sleep. And finally, over-reliance on ancestry and knowledge. Nick came to Jesus at night, Nicodemus, and he was a smart cookie, and he was a ancestor of ancestor, the leader of the Jews, as the text tells us. But he was afraid, so he met with Jesus by night, because the Jews said there were no more prophets anymore. What were we going to do? And lo and behold, they had a prophet, Jesus, the prophet of prophets, right before them. But they just didn't get it. How can a person be born again? That's the important ancestry we need to rely on, right? Sometimes people come to you and say, are you born again? And they want to say, do you have a special manifestation of the Spirit? Can you speak in tongues or do miraculous works? And most of us say, no, I guess I'm not born again. Well, the literal word there is not again, but above. And we're all born from above, right? From our baptism, this very day through the Word. And who knows how else God is going to come to us, unworthy as we are. So the next time somebody asks you if you're born again, say, yeah, from above. It's all God's doing. Doesn't matter what I do or don't do. And it reminds me of a final story I want to close with. There was a great revival meeting in town, and this woman who felt very far away from Jesus came, and she was so convicted by the message that she came up front to the altar call at the end of the service, although she never had done that before, and she was a little afraid, and she was weeping, and her head was down. And the pastor noticed, and so he came and put his hand on her shoulder, and he said, what's up? She said, I just feel so far away from God and so unworthy. And he said, do you know any Bible passages that might help you? And she said, well, I only know one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. Oops, she didn't say that. She said,
For God so loved the world that he gave his only forgotten son. And the pastor was about ready to correct her, and he came to his senses. He said, I like that translation. Now that should give you hope. Because God forgot his son, he remembers you. Take that to your heart this day. It'll change your life. Because God forgot his son, Jesus, he remembers you. He'll never forget you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Gracious God, you send great blessings new each morning, all our days. For your mercies never ending, for your love we offer praise. Lord, we pray that we, your people, who your gifts unnumbered claim, through the sharing of your blessings may bring glory to your name. By your word you form creation filled with creatures large and small. As we tend that endless treasure, may our care encircle all. Lord, we pray that we, your people, who your gifts unnumbered claim, through the sharing of your blessings may bring glory to your name. In his earthly life, our Savior knew the care of faithful friends. May our deeds of dedication offer love that never ends. Lord, we pray that we, your people, who your gifts unnumbered claim, through the sharing of your blessings may bring glory to your name. Heavenly Father, may our caring bear the imprint of your grace. With the Son and Holy Spirit, praise be yours in every place. Lord, we pray that we, your people, who your gifts unnumbered claim, through the sharing of your blessings may bring glory to your name. O God of the covenant, in the glory of the cross, your Son embraced the power of death and broke its hold over your people. In this time of repentance, draw all people to yourself, that we who confess Jesus as Lord may put aside the deeds of death and accept the life of your kingdom. God of the living, through baptism we pass from the shadow of death to the light of the resurrection. Remain with us and give us hope that, rejoicing in the gift of the Spirit who gives life to our mortal flesh, we may be clothed with the garment of immortality. God of amazing compassion, lover of our wayward race, you bring to birth a pilgrim people and call us to be a blessing for ourselves and all the world. We pray for grace to take your generous gift and step with courage on this holy path, confident in the radiant life that is your plan for us. Amen. Especially this day, first of all, we're praying for Sandy Fortner and her family at the loss of her mother-in-law, Edith. Also Brian and Eric Fortner for that loss. And secondarily for Helen Braun and Diane Langwith. Diane's son, Anthony Hagney, was killed in an automobile accident on Thursday morning. Helen is his grandmother. The funeral service will be Monday morning at 10 o'clock at the funeral home in Pinckneyville. Let us pray. Thank you for the promise through your word, O Lord. Blessed are all who die in the Lord. Yea, they will rest from their labors, and their work shall follow them. We thank you for following Edith and Anthony all the days of their lives, Edith for quite some years, Anthony for only 30. But the love was just as real for both of them, and so we rejoice and pray that that memory of all memories would comfort these families who mourn these losses. Lord, in your mercy. And on this day also, we're celebrating with Irma Wente, who will be 93 years old on March 14th, Tuesday. Let us pray. At the right date, March 14th. Thank you, O Lord, for the gift of Irma and for the love that you've also extended to her all these years. I rejoice to share that love together with her on our visits and the gleam in her eyes when she receives your Holy Supper and so many other gifts. We thank you that you have kept her in faith all these years. Lord, in your mercy. And I want to give another shout out to the choir and a prayer. Thank you, O Lord, for these people who commit every Wednesday, or most of them, and other days, especially for Anne and Carl and Carol, who lead us, director and musicians, and this great spirit that you give to this group who sing your praises, not just here, but all their days. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, we're praying for our congregation as we gather for a special meeting on Wednesday, March 22nd, following midweek Lenten worship. There is an announcement in the bulletin, and at the end of the service today, you will receive a letter that gives you a little bit more details about that. Let us pray. O God of love, we thank you for the reminder that no matter what happens in this life, that can never be taken away from us. Your love and presence, we especially pray that that holds us up at this time when we wonder, when our brothers and sisters seem not to be giving that love, that we could forgive them and that we could move forward confident that you are leading us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These and any other things you would have us ask of you, Heavenly Father, grant to us for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Our
Loving and giving God, we thank you for your gifts which strengthen us and keep us assured of your love for us. Bless us through these divine gifts that we may live with boldness and confidence even in times of earthly sorrow and disappointment. May your Holy Spirit further bless and enlighten us with his gifts that we may be people who rejoice in your promises and live to your glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father who gave his Son for the life of the world, the Son who has revealed to us God's grace, mercy, and love, and the Spirit by whose fruit we are seen to be children of God, bless you now and forever. Amen. Guide me, O thou great Redeemer, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Whence the healing stream doth flow, let the fiery cloudy pillar lead me on my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to thee.
Where do you want these letters?
Here, I'll take them, see.